This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Wednesday, the 27th of September. I'm Daniel Roberts. Welcome to The Informer. On tonight's show, we talk all things safe schools. Later on in the show, we'll hear from Shane Rule, the principal of Lakeview Senior College in Melbourne, about his experience with the Safe Schools program. First up, we welcome a guy who has spent a lot of his time lately researching, writing, and now talking about safe schools. Benjamin Law is an Australian author and screenwriter, known best for his autobiographical work, perhaps most notably his television series on the SBS, The Family Law, adapted from an earlier memoir of the same title. He has contributed to many Australian news and magazine outlets throughout his career, and tonight I'll talk to him about his latest work. Australian publication Quarterly Essay have just published Law's work titled Moral Panic 101, Equality, Acceptance and the Safe Schools Program. I started by asking Ben how much he knew about safe schools before researching it, and if, like me, all he knew was that a lot of people seem to really dislike it.
Well, by that stage, by the time I started writing about safe schools, I thought I knew a lot about it because I'd read so much about it in The Australian. But of course, if you're going by the coverage of The Australian, which they would probably think is comprehensive, what they've kind of done over their 90,000 words of coverage is leave out very specific details about what safe schools actually is. So in a way, as much as I came into writing this quarterly essay thinking, I'm going to defend this program, something still really shocked me. And I think whether you're a critic or a supporter of safe schools, one of the things we need to get right is to actually understand what safe schools is. And before I started writing this, I realised I didn't.
Ben, the first quote from your essay I'd like to bring to this discussion, and I think it packs a punch and is so relevant to the conversation we're having in this country at the moment. You say, every push for the protection of queers in Australia has been accompanied by a jeering soundtrack of loathing. Obviously, that is so relevant in the same-sex marriage debate, but a byproduct of that debate has seen further defamation of the Safe Schools program. How have these separate conversations ended up in the same debate?
Okay, I've got a theory about this. I think with same-sex marriage, the no campaigners have realised that they've kind of lost that debate, really. You've got the majority of Australians for quite some time now support same-sex marriage. You've got the majority of Australian Christians support same-sex marriage. As of the last Essential poll, you've even got the majority, just over the majority, of coalition voters even voting for same-sex marriage. I think same-sex attracted people and their relationships are no longer as controversial in this country as they have been. And so why they're saying, well, if you vote for same-sex marriage, that's a vote for safe schools, why they're saying that is because they realise that by targeting safe schools and by making safe schools a villain, that was an incredibly effective campaign for the anti-gay lobby groups like the Australian Christian Lobby, for backbench senators and MPs like George Christensen and Corey Bernardi. Safe schools was made into a really successful boogeyman. So to conflate the two issues is a way of undermining the Yes campaign and gay rights in general. What I've wanted to do with this essay is to provide a bit of a circuit breaker. When we talk about the controversial Safe Schools program, what I really want to ask is, one, what is it? And two, how did it become controversial? That doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Well, let's get to that now. Let's go back to when Safe Schools Coalition of Australia was being launched in 2014. Now, this is after Victoria had already been running its own Safe Schools program for a number of years. Ben, can you explain what the mood was like around the launch? According to what you've written, people seemed very optimistic.
People were very festive in 2014 when Safe Schools Coalition Australia was launched. This was something where Labor, just before federal Labor was rolled out of government, Penny Wong, Bill Shorten, Kath Botel, they basically implemented it, contracts were signed, and by the time the Abbott coalition government came in, they had to deliver it. And we're kind of happy to deliver it as well, because there was bipartisan support for this program, ostensibly. You talk to MPs from the coalition, and they'll even tell you that Tony Abbott defended the program alongside Christopher Pyne when it was initially criticised in backroom party meetings, because for a long time it's been recognised that LGBTIQ people in Australia, but especially young people, are some of our most vulnerable people when it comes to suicidality, thinking of killing yourself or attempting suicide. So on the day of the launch, it was quite celebratory. There were lanyards and pens. Senator Scott Ryan from the coalition was launching it. But I think it was telling even then that Senator Scott Ryan did have reservations. He's the first to admit that he doesn't have much to do with the LGBTIQ community. But at that stage, everyone was really thrilled. This was like the biggest investment the Commonwealth had invested in our community since targeting and battling HIV/AIDS. And everyone's quite, you know, self-congratulatory. Look how far we've come. This program should have been implemented a long time ago. And as one of the managers said, I don't think anyone would argue about that. But of course, later we found out that plenty of people would.
That's it. Well, let's talk about Safe Schools as a program and what its actual aims are, or are still. In 2014, your school would become a signatory of the program, and you basically signed a pledge, and as a principal committed to creating a safe learning environment free of homophobia and transphobia, and would show support for gender diverse, intersex and sexually diverse people. And then someone would come to your school and talk to the teachers and the other staff, and they'd talk them through what all these terms meant. So when does the All of Us program come into play, and how does that affect the Safe Schools progression?
Yeah, and I think in all of this, what you're doing is a really good thing, which is to clarify what Safe Schools actually is. Safe Schools doesn't require any principal or teacher to teach kids anything. At the very fundamental level, all Safe Schools is, and this was even shocking to me when I researched it, because you hear of Safe Schools, you know, going to schools and teaching kids LGBTIQ when they don't even know their three R's. But it really is about staff pledging to help include LGBTIQ and questioning kids. Now, All of Us was a resource that was developed a couple of years after Safe Schools had launched, because parents and because principals and teachers were starting to ask Safe Schools, yes, we feel like we're confident in making kids feel protected and included, but now kids are starting to ask us about LGBTQI issues, and we don't feel equipped to have that conversation in a classroom. Do you have a resource that could help us? And they didn't at that stage. So that's another really important thing to clarify, that the development of this resource, an optional resource called All of Us, was driven by schools, not by Safe Schools Coalition Australia. And if you go to the All of Us resource, which is still available online, which the federal government and Department of Education still stands by the way, which has been reviewed heavily and has been declared age appropriate by leading national education experts, you'll see it's really, really tame. Queer kids and teenagers are basically saying, this is my story, and this is what being a lesbian means. This is what being transgender means. This is what being intersex means. It's really kind of so outrageously wholesome that I find it hilarious that anyone could even find this optional resource controversial. But of course, this is the resource that's been conflated with Safe Schools, and critics of Safe Schools have basically misrepresented it by saying this is a mandatory part of Safe Schools, which it isn't.
And it was born out of I guess a criticism of the Beyond Blue campaign that came out a few years prior, that attempted to battle homophobia, and represented gay people as a bit sad and affected by homophobia, yeah. Whereas this is meant to be a more sort of positive depiction of gay people at school.
Yeah. So just to give you some context, I think a lot of us from the queer community are familiar with campaigns saying, you know, it's bad to bully LGBTIQ people. You know, imagine if you were left candid, as Beyond Blue has a campaign about, you know, imagine if you were told to feel shit for being left handed. The implication being that, you know, being gay or transgender or intersex or lesbian or bisexual is something that you can't help. And that is true. And it's also true that we've got higher rates of suicidality, higher rates of truancy from school, all of these bleak things. But it also implies that there's something sad and inherently tragic about being queer as well. And I know, I imagine a lot of the listeners would know that being queer can be and fundamentally is a joyous thing. The problem isn't being queer. The problem, as someone like Roz Ward, who helped design the All of Us program, the problem is homophobia. The problem is transphobia. Being queer is a wonderful life-affirming identity and way of living. And so All of Us was about promoting a positive message to kids. And as much as, you know, queer people would think that's not controversial, I think the idea that being gay, being queer, is compatible with being happy and also compatible with being young is a really confronting thing for conservatives. And that's why All of Us became such a hot topic.
And so All of Us is released and then media hysteria picks up, and we have Susie O'Brien writing in the Herald Sun that safe schools teaches kids how to bind their breasts and tuck in their male bits and pieces. And yeah. You reckon, Ben, you're sure this lesson does not exist. Tell me, Ben.
This lesson does not exist. And the reason why people think that penis tucking and chest binding is taught as a part of safe schools is that All of Us, one of its partners and one of safe schools' partners, is a great organisation called Minus 18. Minus 18 has on its website, or had on its website, information about penis tucking and chest binding if you are a young trans person who is distressed by the physical development of your body. To imply that an optional resource with a link to a website, with a link to information, is teaching our kids about chest binding and penis tucking is laughable.
In the essay, you go on to mention that the Australian newspaper has published nearly 200 stories on or mentioning safe schools, yet has never once spoken to a school-aged LGBTIQ youth. What does this say about the fear the Australian are trying to drum up, and why is it in their interest that people are scared of the safe schools program?
You know, forget about LGBTIQ youth. They didn't even talk to young people generally. I mean, this is a story, apparently over 90,000 words, about the safety of young people. To not actually include the voices of young people just shows a real contempt that and a strong belief that young people don't know what's good for them, that young queer people aren't an important part of this conversation. And it also shows a deep ignorance for why Safe Schools was created in the first place, which was to include and protect the welfare of young LGBTIQ people. This shows that the Australian's coverage, and to be honest, I don't actually think the Australian is wholly a bad newspaper. I know a lot of listeners would disagree. I think that the Australian is becoming prone to mounting a lot of moral panic campaigns, whether it's against safe schools or whether it's against Yasmin Abdel-Majid or whether it's against Gillian Triggs. They are launching really targeted campaigns like this, which actually undermines the good journalism that they do and are still capable of doing as well. But what it indicates to me is that when it comes to safe schools, they are not interested in fair and balanced journalism. What they are doing is waging a right-wing activist campaign to bring down a program that actually, you know, might actually be worth looking at and saying, well, can we make this better? But when you're trying to destroy it outright from the very first story that you run, that shows a conversation that started in bad faith.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427JOY949, email onair@joy.org.au, or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. We're breaking through the myths and serving you the facts of the Safe School program with Benjamin Law. A topic that many parents will understand, well, may understand little about, some parents may understand little about, is that of transgender children. And you mentioned in your essay that the focus on transgender kids has been an advantage for those opposed to the program in the way that they've used it. Ben, I'd love to hear what you found most enlightening while talking to the transgender youth that you met while researching this work.
Yeah, so I think the voices of trans youth were really important to this story because trans kids and teenagers have been painted as a kind of boogeyman. You hear Miranda Devine talking about an epidemic of transgenderism amongst young people since Safe Schools was launched.
Which is exactly what they would have said when, you know, gay rights activists came out of the shadows in the 70s and 80s. It's exactly the same kind of fear-mongering, no?
Absolutely. The idea that sexuality and gender is a contagious thing, and not as we would understand it, which is actually this kind of openness of conversation means that I can finally declare myself to the world as who I am and how I see myself. And because I'm not trans myself and I don't have that lived experience, I thought it was so, so paramount to make sure that I spoke to not just experts, but the people who we are actually talking about. I think it's a really dehumanising thing to be spoken about rather than spoken to. And so when I spoke to young trans teenagers like Mikey, a dude that I encountered at Open Doors in Brisbane, when I spoke to young trans people at the Minus 18 Queer Formal, for instance, they have these really amazing stories of resilience, and they are really happy to debunk myths that are spread in the media. This idea that, you know, you can access unnecessary surgery and hormones, it's just hilarious considering Australia is probably the hardest country in the world to access medical interventions. We're the only country that makes young people go through the courts to affirm their gender identity as well. So when we're talking, you know, when Miranda Devine and people of her ilk say, you know, there's an epidemic of children self-harming and abusing their bodies, where is this epidemic? Where are the medical professionals? Where are the judges in courts willing to be manipulated by young children who must be able to outsmart them somehow to convince them to allow those things to be done to their body? Those boogeymen just simply don't exist. And that's what I found really gratifying, talking to experts and young trans people themselves.
Well, let's talk about Safe Schools as it stands in late 2017. New South Wales have pulled funding completely. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So New South Wales as a state will no longer fund Safe Schools. Unlike basically every Labor-led state in the country except Queensland, who are still deciding whether to run Safe Schools or to fund Safe Schools on a state level or not. But the two Conservative-led states, so that's New South Wales with a coalition state government and Tasmania, which has a Liberal state government, they will not be continuing Safe Schools as it is. What they'll be doing is implementing general anti-bullying programs, some of which have been designed, but some of the details in terms of how they are addressing homophobia or transphobia is not exactly clear. But we've also learned from international models that unless you address homophobia specifically as a separate type of bullying, anti-general bullying programs don't actually make a difference in the schoolyard. So that's a point of concern. But I think there is cause for optimism as well, because the majority of states and territories in Australia are run by Labor governments at the moment, and they are all committed to Safe Schools. Whether it will be called Safe Schools or something different, it's essentially the same program state by state. And if you are in the state of Victoria, every public school will be a Safe School signatory by the end of 2018 anyway.
So it's not as dead as many news publications would have us believe. In fact, many school principals are coming out in full support of the program. You say, and I quote, principals refuse to bow to moral panic. That's really promising, isn't it?
I think so. And I think principals can be trusted. They don't really get whipped up into fear and frenzy. Very few principals are the hand-wringing Helen Lovejoys of the News Corp stables. Instead, their obligation, their very serious obligation, is to look at school policy, to look at programs and resources, and ask themselves, is this right for my school community and the kids that I am responsible for? And when it comes to Safe Schools, you are, as a principal, are asked to sign a pledge. Will I make an effort to to make sure that LGBTIQ kids on campus are safe. That's a bit of a no-brainer for principals. You will be offered the option of taking up teacher training resources. So basically, your teachers are more equipped for when a kid is called a faggot in the schoolyard, for when there's homophobic bullying, when there's transphobic bullying. How do you intervene? What are the statistics and information that you should know about? But it's basically a half-hour PowerPoint presentation. A lot of principals around the country are signing up for that as well because they realise that, you know, if you have a decent school population of at least 100, you're definitely going to have at least one transgender child in amongst that mix. You are definitely going to have same-sex attracted youth in amongst that mix. And teachers want to feel confident about how to make sure those kids are able to access school and thrive as much as their cisgender or heterosexual peers.
It's called The Quarterly Essay, and this edition is titled Moral Panic 101, Equality, Acceptance and the Safe School Scandal. And it was written by your guest, Benjamin Law. Ben, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
Thanks so much for having me.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
Shane Rule is the principal of Lakeview Senior College in Caroline Springs. His school is one of the first to become signatories of the Safe Schools program. I chatted to him about how Safe Schools has benefited his school and what he's learnt in the process. Shane, when did Lakeview Senior College sign up to Safe Schools and what appealed to you about the program?
We signed up in 2010, so we were one of the first schools in Victoria to sign up to the program. We saw it sitting alongside our school values of respect and responsibility and something that was going to enable us to, I suppose, ensure that Lakeview Senior College, which is only 12 years old, developed a very inclusive culture. And that's something we've worked towards since our beginning.
And Shane, what has changed in the school since the program has been introduced?
I think there's been a really significant shift in the language that students in particular use. So it's something that we're very clear about in relation to homophobic language and not tolerating that. It's something that is now incorporated into all of our policies and procedures. So we make it very clear that it's an important part of our anti-bullying stance and our anti-sexual harassment stance. So it sits within those existing policies, which we're very serious about in terms of creating a safe and comfortable environment for all of our students.
So what sort of training have teachers and staff received and how in-depth has that training been?
Look, we give staff access to the resources, but we've received very little formal training. It's more about a philosophical approach that, as I said, supports the idea that Lakeview Senior College is an inclusive environment and very much ensures that students are able to feel safe and comfortable within the college, regardless of sexual identity or gender identity.
How has the reaction been amongst parents and students?
Students have been fantastic. They've been really supportive. We have a gay straight alliance club that meets as one of our lunchtime clubs alongside the chess club and other sporting clubs, and they've campaigned really strongly across a number of years to ensure that homophobic language is not part of the culture at Lakeview Senior College. So by and large, our students and our student leadership group in particular are extremely supportive, to the point where I would say that it's very much part of our culture and is almost a non-issue at Lakeview. We also have a number of staff who attend those Gay Straight Alliance meetings, so staff have been very supportive as well. We've had a small number of parents who've asked questions about the Safe Schools Coalition and what that means at Lakeview Senior College, but by and large, I think our school council and the vast majority of our parents are very supportive as well.
Have those questions been raised since some of the press have sort of turned on Safe Schools?
There were a few questions raised at one of our 9 into 10 information nights this year. So we're a senior secondary college. We only have years 9, 10 and 11. 10, 11 and 12, I should say, Daniel. And at that 9 into 10 information night, a couple of parents asked some questions, but they seem reasonably satisfied with the answers. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's certainly only a 1 or 2 in terms of the controversy regarding that program.
Have you noticed that students are becoming more comfortable in identifying as LGBTIQ?
Absolutely, Dan. It's just, it's a non-issue at Lakeview Senior College, which I'm really proud of. There are a number of students who openly identify as gay, and as I said, it's just a non-issue.
And Shane, what have you learned as a teacher and a principal since becoming a signatory of the program?
Yeah, great question. I suppose it's helped me gain a better understanding of some of the barriers that kids face in terms of feeling safe and comfortable at school. I'm certainly more aware of challenging language within the classroom, and also as principal of the college, being a symbolic leader in terms of ensuring that, Lakeview is an inclusive and safe place for everyone, regardless of gender or sexuality.
Shane Rule, principal of Lakeview Senior College, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
Not a problem, Dan.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
That's it for another episode of The Informer. A podcast will be available shortly to download at joy.org.au/podcasts or your preferred podcast platform. I'd like to thank tonight's guests, Benjamin Law and Shane Rule. The Informer will be back tomorrow night. My name is Daniel Roberts. Up next are the news headlines, followed by Unicorn Youth.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.